Welcome to Countdown to Eternity. In just a moment, you'll be hearing from Pastors James Gaddis and Don Stewart. Each week, we bring you stories that prove God's Word is true, being fulfilled right before our eyes. Yes, things are going on right now that confirm what the Bible has said will take place in the last days. And with a lot of ground to cover, let's get into our first story.
Well, hello, everybody. I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. This is going to be an action-packed one. We got a lot to talk about, so let's get right down to it. Of course, I'm so blessed to have by my side the great Don Stewart. Don, we got a lot to talk about, don't we, bro?
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get it all in, but that's the problem we have each time. It gets worse and worse. You want me to get started?
Yeah, let's do it, brother.
Here's the big story. Well, there's a couple big stories. Number one, here's the headline. Israel-Iran war reaches deadly new level. Analysis. Okay, this is a Jerusalem Post editorial. Then another one. Mercer Street is a global wake-up call to the Iranian threat. And then you've got U.S.'s response to latest Iranian aggression forthcoming. Consultations with allies continue. And of course, if people don't know what we're talking about, the Mercer Street was a vessel, Israeli owned, that was attacked last week by a number of Iranian kamikaze drones, killed two people, a Romanian citizen and a British citizen. And it's an act of war, James, wouldn't you say?
And absolutely.
Yeah. And Israel, in fact, I've got Benny Gantz, one of the headlines. That's why I'm scrolling through so much stuff. It's coming fast and furious. Gantz urges action against Iran right now in response to deadly drone attack. Now, supposedly, the attack wasn't, you know, a tit for tat, because what Israel was trying to do across the northern border in Syria, trying to down some of these Iranian assets there, which, of course, we talked about last week, which is a huge story. The Russian missiles were there shooting down, which is a whole other big story. It continues to develop. The Israel missiles over in Syria. So, James, this, again, you can't make this stuff up. According to the Bible, in the last days, two of the nations that'll be in the headlines, obviously Israel will always be in the spotlight, but another one is Iran, and here we are.
Yeah, and you know, this is interesting because there's a lot of dynamics that kind of go behind this. Perhaps one of the most interesting set of dynamics that I'm looking at directly related to what Iran is doing is sort of the relationship that's changing very quickly with Israel and with Russia. And this is obviously being noted by what their Air Force is doing right now in Syria. And it's unique because really the way I should really say this, Don, is what their Air Force isn't doing in Syria, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's probably the better way of doing it. And, they have grounded, in essence, all of their fighter jets flying into Syria because Russia showed its big, ugly face and pretty much said, you can't do this because we are now beginning to defend the airspace. And in essence, what Israel is doing is, in a very soft way, they are basically declaring Syria as basically their own sovereign territory. And I think that that is significant because as Iran's aggression continues to grow, I think it's continuing to grow based on two very important variables. I think it's continuing to grow by the boldness that they're beginning to feel, or the emboldening that's going on because of the United States administration, presidential administration, and what they're doing. And I also think they're beginning to feel emboldened because of Russia's stance with respect to Syria. So I think that this is becoming a major problem. It is coming to a head. And what is going to end up happening is a bit scary, if you ask me. It's kind of a scary situation.
Yeah, it's a very scary situation. In fact, we've got stories like this. What does Iran's use of drones against ships mean for the future? Biden makes deal with Iraq to end U.S. combat mission amid escalation by Iranian-backed jihadi militias. The U.S., if you didn't know better, James, you'd think they're working on the side of the Iranians, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. And actually, it is. They're kind of a team. They're sort of working together on this, and it's something that's becoming painfully obvious. We're watching this be the case. This isn't like something that is like a question in our mind, like, I wonder if maybe behind closed doors they're having these conversations. No, this is blatant, it's open, and it's up front. And the first sign of this was when Putin was beginning to have summits with Turkey and with Iran and Syria. So we know that this was waiting. We know it was around the corner. And I also will tell you this. Keep your eyes open with respect to Libya, because this crazy, weird, I don't know what you want to call it, civil war thing that's going on over there is really more Russia being put in a position to position themselves, right? To obtain control of the country. And that's kind of where they're going. And by the way, they learned their lesson from Afghanistan. They're not going to make those same mistakes. So this is a very interesting situation that we're looking at here. And make no mistake about it, I think Russia wants to assert themselves, forget wants to, is asserting themselves as the new player in the Middle East.
Yeah, as we talked about before, according to the Bible, in the last days, Russia would be the major player in the Middle East. U.S. would not be a player. And that's exactly what we see. U.S. is bowing out of Afghanistan, bowing out of Iraq, basically telling Russia it's okay to do these raids, you know, to thwart the raids of Israel against the Syrian places where Iran is based. And you've got the Iranians now, you know, emboldened by something like this. They've already warned the U.S. if you do something, you know, in retaliation for this attack on the Mercer Street, we're going to up you one with how we attack you. And, you know, James, the scary thing about this, we've got some pretty scary weapons out there that can be used. Now, if there was a trade war between Israel and Iran, it would be a no-brainer. Israel would take them out. Israel's got the assets, the military. Iran doesn't have an air force, thing like that. They can cause problems. But Iran does not yet have that nuclear weapon, that big thing we worry about, the one missile that can hit Israel. They're working on that. But, James, they can do a lot of damage, can't they? And this one article, like I just mentioned, about the drones, the drone warfare, we've talked about this briefly. That's another new player in the game, which can cause a lot of havoc, can't it?
Oh, 100%. More than anybody wants to imagine or think about, because you got to keep this in mind. Look, when we start getting into things like drones and we start getting into military assets being thrown around that can't really be identified all that clear, it opens up the door for a tremendous amount of ambiguity, right? There's a lot of ambiguity. So in other words, let me just say this. It allows fuel for the media fire to be able to create whatever picture that they want for what's going on in the region. So Israel might be in a good position to win militarily speaking, but they certainly aren't going to win the media war, which then in essence causes them to be put in a position of great disadvantage.
Yeah, and particularly now because the U.S. doesn't have their back like we did before. And that's what's really problematic. If you can't attack, you know, someone and you're on your northern border, these places there that have shipments there that come out of weapons, missiles and the such like, bringing troops in that could be, you know, guerrilla forces to attack your country. You can't defend against that right over your northern border. How in the world are you going to go across the Persian Gulf and do something, you know, what, 500 kilometers away in the country of Iran? It's going to be very, very difficult. And they realize more and more they're between the proverbial rock and the hard place, because in the past, in the last administration, they had Israel's back. We don't have that now. And it's very problematic in light of Genesis 12, 1-3, where God says, I'm going to bless those that bless and curse those that curse. And so the United States is not in a good position right now.
Well, and let me give you another example of how this is so devastating to Israel. Me and you kicked and screamed about this. We talked about this like crazy when it happened. When Joe Biden's administration made the designation that the Houthis were no longer a terrorist organization, the level of enabling that created to be able to attack Israel was far beyond anything anybody could imagine. Now, we said, yes, it's about Saudi Arabia in that some of the most extensive attacking that's going on right now in Saudi Arabia are coming from the Houthis, but they don't understand the fact that the Yemenis that are doing this because they want to chip away at not just Saudi Arabia, but at Israel. And the thing that people don't get is when you examine this most recent attack, understand this. These were what they call kamikaze drones. These drones were designed to literally not be retrieved. They were assets that were designed to explode. They ran into whatever target it was. Upon running into the target explodes. With the drones, they're gone. Well, the only people that we know that are doing this right now that are proxies of Iran are the Houthis. The fact that these drones were deployed this way is a very, very clear indication to us that the Houthis were involved in this. And, you know, proxy or not, this was obviously a very open and stated blatant attack by Iran against Israel, and they were seeking to send out a message. Well, the problem is they did it through the proxy, which was completely enabled by the United States of America. And that's a major issue. We got to think about that. We got to consider that for a second.
Yeah, we do. And just to remind the people, the Houthis are fighting in the country of Yemen. They're fighting against group backed by the Saudis. The Houthis have sent rockets over. They've sent drones over. They've sent a lot of ordnance over to Saudi Arabia, attacking their oil fields and some of their main places. But the Houthis are just an extension. They're a client state. They're of Iran, just like Hezbollah is in Lebanon. And so in essence, it's Iran pulling the strings going on here. But they've got the, you know, what they call the denial factor, don't they? You know, well, you know, what in us? It came from there. We're not over there. That's these other guys. And the sad thing too, James, we've got not only in Afghanistan, but also in Iraq, you've got terrorist organizations aligned with Iran in Iraq, with the U.S. pulling out of there too. So again, it just brings it that much closer geographically to Israel, because let's face it, it's all about Israel. They want to get rid of Israel, and they're bound to determine one way of doing it or the other. They're trying to surround the country and be able to attack them from all sides. And particularly, remember, when we think about in the future, the Ezekiel 38-39 scenario, there is no one, zero, nada, who will come to the aid of Israel. Nobody, maybe somebody can, but nobody will. And the U.S. is not a player in this. And so we're just seeing the stage being set. You know, every week we talk about this because it's getting closer and closer. But there's also the possibility with this latest incident with the Mercer Street of some type of limited war. I don't know if it would be limited. You know, would Hezbollah get involved in this? Would somebody else get involved with Iran fighting us? We don't know. But that's why Gantz and others and Blinken has, you know, said, well, the U.S. is going to, we've got your back. I got a story about how they're going to, you know, get together the West and have some type of united front against Iran. I will believe that when we see it, because I got this story here, and that is, you've got the inauguration of this new president of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, this murderer, this butcher there. And the EU are planning to send a delegation there to be there at the inauguration of this mass murder. That's the crazy world we live in.
Yeah. The inauguration of a person who basically says that he stands for the elimination of the Jewish state, just like Hamas and just like Hezbollah. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, the UN is the only organization that I could think of, and I call them the United Nothing, right? They're absolutely atrocious people, right? But they're the only organization that I can think of that has a nation that is a member of the organization that they call for the complete destruction of. It's crazy. Yet they don't condemn any of the behavior of anybody else. The only behavior that they continue to condemn is the behavior of Israel doing exactly what it's supposed to do, not violating any of the Geneva Convention rules, not doing anything that they should not be doing, just completely behaving as they are supposed to, as any other democratic nation, and yet they're the ones that are constantly being called to be eliminated. There is some judgment that is waiting in the lines for those people. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, and again, we're not trying to be histrionic here, trying to be provocative. This is what's going on. This is what the leaders of Israel are saying. This is what the Secretary of State is saying in the United States. They're worried about it too. Because think about it, James, if you get a war going on right now, the last thing the world needs with all the shutdowns taking place, and we could talk about that, what's going on in Europe and Australia and all that, what the last thing the world needs now is some type of crisis with the delivery of oil if the Persian Gulf is involved, something between Iran and Israel or whoever else may be. That's the last thing we need right now, but that's why the worry is they're so strong. So the sad thing to me is there was a British ambassador, one of British envoy or someone else, and they said the same thing. We're going to have to settle this through diplomacy. So the Iranians are going to listen to diplomacy at this stage. Haven't they learned? The JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, has not worked. It's a memorandum of agreement in 2015, and Iran has broken about every aspect of it in working on enriching uranium. And now with this new leader coming in a couple of days, they said, this guy's a hardliner, so the last person wasn't. So it's nothing but problems the world has. Now, the good news is, of course, we're always very optimistic. We know how the story's going to end. But in the meantime, James, it is very, very dicey.
Oh, beyond anything that we can even imagine. Like I said, this is unprecedented. And make no mistake about it, this is absolutely crazy. And bottom line is, this kind of nonsense is going to come to a head. And when it does, we're going to see amazing pictures of Bible prophecy coming into fruition. We're watching it. We're watching everything set up for it. And it's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, and the point is, we've always got new listeners, I imagine, to our program each time we broadcast. What we do here on Countdown to Eternity is just basically talk about what the Bible says the last day scenario in the world is going to be and compare it to what's going on. In other words, here's the scriptures, here's the headlines, and they coincide right now in ways that we couldn't even imagine just a few years ago. You know, if we would have been doing a program like this 7 years ago, James, none of this would be even the wildest imagination or nightmare of any of us. But these are the sort of things scripture has warned us about, and we knew they were coming, but I think the thing that's bothering so many Christians, James, is how fast they're coming, how furious they're coming, and there doesn't seem to be any leadership in the world doing anything about it.
Yeah, and look, the bottom line is they're inspired by the father of this world, Satan. I mean, that's really the what we're facing right now. It's kind of what we're seeing, and we're looking at it. And when you spend any amount of time to analyze what's happening in the Middle East, I have no idea how anybody can deny that the word of God is true.
Not at all, because it tells us ahead of time what to expect. And this is one of the things we mentioned here. We've talked about this time and time. We see archaeological discoveries being made that confirm the historicity of the Bible. The events actually took place. We have prophecies that were given in the past that have been literally fulfilled in the past, and the objective evidence is there. And now the main thing, the mind-blowing thing to me, James, is the future unknowns. You've got a book written anywhere from 2,000 to 3,500 years ago. Many different authors talking about future unknowns, and you put it all together, what they say and what's taking place, exactly what they said was going to happen. Now, don't take our word for it. Not only read the Bible, read commentators that lived the last several hundred years that predicted these days. They took this seriously. They never saw it. We did. That's why I love to quote Matthew 13:17, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, what they see, in your ears what they hear, because many righteous people, prophets, kings, long to see the things that you see and hear the things you hear." Well, the disciples saw Jesus. The people of the first century saw the promised Messiah. For 2,000 years, people have been waiting to see what's going to take place when the time of the end occurs, because the Bible sets up a scenario that what the world's going to be like. And as we've talked about before, James, that scenario is here right now.
Absolutely. 100%. And again, you can't make this stuff up. We're seeing it again and again and again. Case in point, these headlines that continue to come our way are unbelievable. One of the things that astounds me right now about many of the things that we've been seeing is even watching the move of Israel's administration, its current government that's been newly formed, wanting to go towards Europe, wanting to go towards the EU, running towards globalism. It's astounding to me. It's astounding to me.
Yeah, you know, it reminds us, James, of the Old Testament. How many times did God tell the nation of Israel, "Don't trust the arm of flesh, trust me"? They didn't learn the lesson, did they? In the book of Judges, 7 different times the people were in a relationship with God. They got into idolatry. They cried out to the Lord to save them. The Lord sent a judge or a chieftain or a leader to do it. They clobbered the enemy, got rid of them. They come back in a right relationship with God. Then they do it all over again for 7 times in that 350-year period. And of course, the last verse of the book of Judges sounds like modern-day America or modern-day wherever you're at in the world. There was no king in Israel in those days, and everybody did. That's what seemed right in their own eyes. That's the world you and I live in today. You literally can't make this stuff up. And that's why we see the protests going on around the world of basically the cessation of a normal lifestyle. We've got them in Europe again. We talked about them last program. We got them again. Australia, the pictures there are like from some end of the world movie in Australia with the lockdowns there. And people saying, look, enough is enough. We want freedom here. But evidently, James, freedom is not at hand right now for a great part of the world.
Yeah, boy, don't you know that? I mean, and we continue again and again and again and again and again to see evidence of all of this coming together. We're watching it. I can't say this enough. I mean, you look around and you see this type of thing becoming more and more of an issue. And I got to tell you, these signs that we're seeing are not signs that we ought to gawk at. Changing the climate right now, the geopolitical shifting that's going on in the United States and in Europe, for that matter, is something that really we need to pay attention to. This corporate global tax that they're talking about, the fact that they're wanting to actually go in the direction of a cashless society, and not just any cashless society, but one where the currency is the same across the board, all over the world. These are the things we're moving towards.
Yeah,
if anybody can't see that, come on.
Yeah, and we talked about it last weekend too, because people thought, well, the future is in bitcoins or cryptocurrency. Oh, no, it isn't. The currency that Japan is putting out, their currency, their digital currency, will be known by the entire Chinese government, because everybody, every transaction they make will be, you know, seen by the light of day. And that's what's going to take place in the world, not this behind the scenes economy, this digital economy that's cryptic that no one can get involved in. Oh, no. The Bible assumes there's a worldwide economy that is unfortunately being able to be read and looked at by everybody. And the fact that China came out with that, we mentioned also too last week that the UK did the same thing on the same day, basically saying we're going to have the Bitcoin. And again, same thing. We're going to know every transaction that's being made. We're going to know what's in your bank account. We're going to know why you did what you did and how'd you get all that money. You know, what happened? You know, hey, you don't have that money. Where'd you get it all from? Can't do that today, but certainly we'll be able to do very soon if digital currency is the order of the day. And as we said, Revelation 13 seems to assume that an economy that can be monitored worldwide. So we see stories like this over and over and over again coming, James. And now Christians, you know, how long, O Lord, they ask. And here's the good news. The good news is, like we say, we know how it's all going to end. But the bad news is, James, we got to be realistic. It's going to get worse before it gets better, correct?
Amen. And I will tell you that the restrictions, the lockdowns, all the things we're seeing right now, those are all preparations for what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 13. I mean, you would think a guy sets himself up in the temple, demands to be worshipped. You would think that the whole world would revolt against him. But instead, they're going to rally behind him and they're going to take his mark and they're going to worship him. And listen, Jesus is coming soon. That's the bottom line, because we are watching this world being prepped for what's going to happen in the tribulation, which means those of us that are going to be raptured, listen, that time is coming sooner than everybody thinks. And I got to tell you, it's unbelievable when you consider the world that we're living in right now, which, by the way, let me just simply say, time is running out just like it has run out on this show.
No,
so Don, you're out of time, bro. I know. I can't believe it. So I'm going to give you the last word. You've got about 2 minutes. I hate it when we got to cut the clock down. I can't stand it, but that's where we're at right now. So you got about 2 minutes.
Well, again, I want to, again, thank all of you who watch this program, those who produce it, those who put it together, because unfortunately, as James and I have talked about, more and more Christians are not awake to what's going on in the world. They don't have, actually, they come against us for saying these sorts of things, the sorts of things the Bible says. But all we ask you to do is to open your eyes and read the Bible. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look, I haven't written anything to be read between the lines. All I've written is things you can read and understand. It's very understandable if you read the book. Daniel 12, 9 and 10 says, at the time of the end, the wise will understand. And James and I, every morning, we share stories back and forth with Tom Hughes. We talk about, I mean, how can it get any more clear? But as we say this, James, what we see is more and more the Christians, a lot of the Christian church is turning against Bible prophecy, turning against the events going on and getting in this woke mentality. And it's very sad. But again, Jesus in Matthew 24 talked about this. The love of many will grow cold at the time of the end. And so we're seeing exactly what scripture says will happen. So bottom line is this, gang, God's word is true. We see it being fulfilled every single day. If you're not a Christian, let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. Today you need to believe, because so many things are going on right now that are confirming what the scripture says. You need to know Christ and you need to know him right now. That's what we do. For Christians, please keep reading your Bible, go to a church, support a church that preaches the Bible, talks about what we talk about here, that puts people in the limelight, as it were, of the events, that so we know what's going on. And if you do something like that, you will have peace and security, even in the midst of all these problems, because today is an exciting time to live, but also a very difficult time to live.
Amen for that. And nothing could be more true than what you just said. And for those of you that are watching on YouTube and some of the other places that we're on video, I want to just show you really quickly educatingourworld.com. We want you guys to go there. There's all kinds of great stuff. If you go into the download book section, there are all kinds of subjects: the Bible, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the unseen world, Bible and science, humanity, sin, salvation, the church, Bible prophecy, the afterlife, Christian living. You just click on any one of those sections, and there are a series of books that are available to you, all for free, all wonderful, something to take great advantage of. We want you guys to be a part of that and get to know it. And I think that you would really appreciate these books that are available. You can download the PDFs. In many cases, you can actually listen along as Dawn is reading it to you. Lots of great stuff there. So we want to encourage you to that. And so, guys, we're so thankful. That wraps up the show for today. We sincerely hope you enjoyed watching or listening this as much as we've enjoyed making it. May God richly bless you as we count down to eternity. We love you guys. Goodbye. God richly bless you.
You've been listening to Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Dawn Stewart. These are exciting times, and what a thrilling episode. No doubt many of you would like to hear this again, and do us a favor and share it with loved ones as well. It's easy to do at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown, the number two, eternity.com. And it's available wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a video version of Countdown to Eternity. Look for us on YouTube. We're on the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill channel. Well, as we closed out today's episode, Pastor James mentioned Dawn's books. You can download the PDFs or audiobooks for free at educatingourworld.com. Look for us on social media. Follow James Cadiz, Educating Our World, and Countdown to Eternity on Instagram and Facebook. Then subscribe to our YouTube channel at Calvary Chapel Signal Hill. Pastor James releases videos relating to Bible prophecy and current events every day of the week. Hey, maybe you have a question for Dawn and James. They'd love to hear from you. Email us through the website at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown, the number two, eternity.com. And we'd also appreciate your support. It's with your help that we're able to bring these shows to the radio and internet every week. To make a donation, visit countdowntoeternity.com. That's all for now. Tell a friend about these weekly prophecy updates, then join us for the next Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Dawn Stewart. This ministry is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill.